Hi. I'm Kaizad Patel, a PhD student at the University of Maine, and today I'd like to share with you some preliminary data from a snow removal project that we set up in central Maine. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Corianne Tataru, Ivan Fernandez, Jean McRae, and Storm Ono. So we have experienced significant changes in climate over the past few decades. This map from the National Climate Assessment shows that most parts of the country have seen significant increases in temperature. In Maine as well, we have seen increases of 3 degrees Fahrenheit, that's about 1.6 degrees Celsius, since 1895. Winter temperatures have increased at higher rates as compared to summer temperatures. Snowfall has decreased by about an inch, or 2.5 centimeters, in the last 125 years. These trends are predicted to continue into the future, and the map on the left shows the predicted snowfall decline in Maine, separated into the three climate divisions. You have the coastal zone here, you have the southern interior, and then the northern. So you can see that more than half of the state is going to have significant snowfall declines, upwards of 20% in the next 50 years. Now, why do we care about this? Snow is an important part of winter ecology. It provides insulation for the subnivian environment, which is the zone below the snowpack. It protects the soils from the below freezing air temperatures in the winter, allows the microbes to remain active under the snowpack. Many nutrient cycles in the soil are driven by microbial processes, so these transformations can continue uninterrupted in the winter. The microbes grow under the snowpack, and these then act as nutrient sources in the spring after the snowpack disappears. So given our current climate predictions, we're going to have warmer winters with lower snowfall. And that's important because that means we're going to get the soils are going to lose their insulation in the winter. They're going to become colder. And our objective here was to see what would happen to the soils in such an environment. So we were looking mainly at carbon and nitrogen cycles, microbial community dynamics, and we also wanted to see if the system could recover from such an effect, or if these effects of reduced snowpack and soil frost were permanent. So we set up a snow removal project this past winter, and I put this slide in just to give you some context as to how severe this past year was. That's how much snow we got in Maine in 2015. Compare that with the total annual snowfall in the past 35 years, we broke all records. This was not planned. It was just a coincidence that we began a snow removal project, and that's the snow we got. And our backs and our knees are still recovering from that. But we chose a site in the Dwight Demerit Forest, which is a part of the University of Maine system. It's in central Maine, right there. The soils here belong to the Thorndike series. They are lithic, frigid haplotods, they are sporosols. We sampled in the O horizons, which are 0 to 2 inches thick. And this was a mixed softwood stand dominated by white pine, red spruce, and hemlock. Now this is important because although there are many winter ecology projects currently running in New England, most of those look at hardwood stands. This is one of the few studies in New England that look at softwood winter dynamics. We had a total of 8 plots measuring 10 by 5 meters. 4 of these were reference plots, which we refer to as snow plots. These were left to accumulate snow uninterrupted. We had 4 treatment plots, which we refer to as no snow plots, which we kept clear of snow by constant shoveling. So every time we had a major snowfall or a snowstorm, we'd go and shovel. We also maintained a 1 meter buffer on the inside of each plot to allow ease of access to the sampling locations marked here by crosses. And this also helped minimize boundary effects because of the treatment. These photos show the progress of our treatment in one pair of plots from the winter into the spring. This is the same plot in all the photos. On the left you have the reference or the snow plot. On the right you have the no snow plot or the treatment. So while shoveling, we left about an inch of snow on the ground to minimize disturbance to the soil. This also maintained the albedo of the surface because a white surface would reflect more sunlight than the brown exposed soil like here. Also, leaving an inch of snow here ensure that we would minimize drought effects in the spring. So these are some of the variables that we measured as part of this project. Soil temperature was measured using these eye buttons that we buried in the soil prior to treatment. We got air temperature records from the local NOAA weather stations. Soil moisture was measured on a gravimetric basis. Total carbon and nitrogen was measured on an air-dry basis of soil. Inorganic nitrogen, measured as ammonium and nitrate, were determined using KCl extracts of soil. Dissolved organic carbon was quantified and characterized using DI water extracts of soil. And we also looked at soil microbial community structure. Here I'll be discussing microbial biomass, and that was determined using PLFA, or phospholipid fatty acid data. So this is a record of temperature over the duration of our project. We have the air temperature seen here in a dotted line, and the solid line represents soil temperature in the treatment plots. The dashed line here represents soil temperature in the reference plots. So we began snow removal in late January, and we noticed an immediate decrease in soil temperature in the treatment plots. There were some fluctuations over the winter, but for the most part, the soils stayed at 5 to 8 degrees Celsius below freezing. If you compare that with the reference plots here, the soils here were at or above 0 degrees Celsius throughout the winter. So that was our first indicator that the treatment did work. The reference plots stayed unfrozen, and the treatment plots were frozen for the winter. We had a few freeze-thaw cycles over the course of the winter, and we sampled around one such event in March. There was a thaw followed by a freeze the very next day, and we sampled the soils on these 2 days to see if there were any changes because of the freeze-thaw. The soils in the treatment plots were completely thawed, and the frost had disappeared by the end of March. 2.5 weeks later, the snow in the reference plots had completely melted by mid-April. And this is important because by removing the insulation from the soil, we effectively brought the vernal transition, or the transition of the winter to the spring, ahead by 2.5 weeks. And that's important because this is what's predicted to happen in the coming future. So I'm going to run through a few plots just showing you what we observed. There is a separation in the moisture plots here between the treatment and the reference plots. And this was because these two collections were sampled after rain events. Here in the treatment plots, we essentially had rain on soil events, which is why we had higher moisture here. But the reference plots still had the snowpack, so what we had there was rain on snow events, and the snow intercepted the rain, and so you don't see an increase in the moisture content. Now this may seem intuitive, but this is important because this is our current scenario, and this is like an extreme scenario in the future. Our models say we're going to have less snowfall, but increased intensity and frequency of rain events, which means we will be having more soil water, which could drive microbial dynamics. If you have more water in poorly drained soils, you could have anaerobic conditions, which could change the microbial processes. If you have more rain events in the winter, you would end up having more soil frost, which in turn would result in microbial cell lysis. Inorganic nitrogen data are presented here as ammonium values because nitrate was found to be below detect in most of our soils. So here we see that in the treatment plots, shown as a solid line, the ammonium increased during the thaw, and they increased even further during the freeze. Now these error bars here are standard errors. Now many of these differences are not significant, but we did notice an increasing trend here. Now this could be either because of increased production of ammonium, because the increased temperature caused the microbes to mineralize nitrogen at a faster rate. Or it could just be that the freezing in the soil caused cell lysis, resulting in the microbial cell contents to spill into the soil. I'll go into this into the next slide, the next slide is going to help me explain what actually happened here. But we noticed an elevated ammonium in the treatment plots, and 2 weeks later, after snow out, the ammonium in the reference plots began increasing. So we see here that there was a 2.5 week lag between the two plots. I cannot definitively answer why the ammonium declined here, but it could have been because of a flush during snowmelt. And over time, later in the growing season, we see that both the plots converge, showing that the system bounced back and that the effects of the soil frost and the snow removal were not permanent. Later, by June, we see that the ammonium in both plots declined. That this could be because of increased uptake in the growing season. This is a plot of potential net N mineralization. And like the name suggests, this is the potential capacity of microbes to mineralize soil. So we bring the soils back to the lab and incubate them at 25 degrees Celsius for 14 days. And even though this is not a good indicator of what actually happens in the field, this is a good metric to see how microbes function when you give them ideal temperature conditions. So these 2 days represent the thaw followed by the freeze. And there was a slight decrease in the PNNM on the freeze day, which could mean that the increased ammonium in the previous slide was because of cell lysis. There wasn't an increase in microbial production here. Over time, we see a significant separation between the two treatments. The PNNM in the reference plot increased over time, which is to be expected because the microbial populations here were left intact by the insulating snow layer. But in the treatment plots, we see that there was no significant increase over time, and that's probably because the microbial communities here were stressed or compromised because of the soil frost. Dissolved organic carbon, it increased in the treatment plots following frost out, and 2 weeks later it increased in the reference plots following snow out. So again, we see the same 2.5 week separation between the treatments. And again, over time, we see that the two plots converged, showing that the system bounced back. There was system recovery from the soil frost. So the slides I showed you so far were time series plots, documenting the changes between treatments on each of the 10 collection days. So we then calculated grand means to see if there was an overall change in the between treatments. And we found that the treatment plots had significantly higher ammonium and DOC concentrations. And this could be because there was increased production in these plots because of temperature fluctuations, or it could be that there was less uptake by roots and by microbes, or it could be, again, cell lysis because of soil frost. And because these cycles are driven by microbial dynamics, we looked at soil microbial biomass, like I mentioned, in terms of PLFA. PLFA, they are phospholipid fatty acids. They are found in microbial cell membranes, and they are used as indicators to determine the presence and absence of certain microbial groups as well as the biomass of those groups. So here we looked at total microbial biomass for the treatment and the reference across 2 days, one during snowmelt and one in the spring. Now the differences between days and between treatments were not significant, but we see that there was a slight decline in the treatment plot biomass during snowmelt, and this could be linked to what we saw in the chemistry. So to conclude, the snow removal treatment did cause a change in the timing of the vernal transition. Like I said, we brought it ahead by 2.5 weeks. This is important because with current climate predictions, this is what's expected to happen in the future. Winters will become shorter, the growing season is going to increase in duration, and that is going to have effects on nutrient dynamics, nutrient transformations, and also the productivity of the ecosystem. We increased the labile fractions of carbon and nitrogen in our treatment plots. And this means that there was also significant changes in microbial function. But what's important to note is that although we had significant changes in microbial function, the biomass did not change significantly. So we may need to look at specific microbial groups to see if there is a distinct character that changes across seasons. Also, as can be seen by the convergence of the plots, the system did recover from the snow removal treatment. Of course, this could just be because this was 1 year of shoveling. And in order to get a more accurate idea of what's going to happen in the future, this needs to be repeated over multiple years. And that is what we are planning on doing. We're planning on repeating this a second if 2 years of consecutive snow removal will have any different effects. That's all I have. I'd like to just conclude by thanking everybody who helped us make this first year a success. We have our wonderful staff and undergrad students who've been helping us in the lab and in the field. You can see I have a separate section just for snow shoveling people. These are our friends and classmates whom we sort of bribed to help us out. And I don't know if they are our friends anymore. And I'd like to acknowledge all the funding sources we had. This has been a self-funded project, so we relied on funding from our local labs, and also from we are working with Instrumental on a crowdfunding campaign to fund our analyses for the second year. That's all. Thank you. We felt like that would introduce more disturbance, and that wouldn't give us the precision we wanted in leaving some of the snow on the ground. And also, it's expensive.
We have used those in winter studies before, and as long as you're leaving snow there, you might want to look at it. Go borrow one, try it.
Well, this began as a release, as a, almost like a side project for us, so we didn't want to invest too much because we didn't know what we would get from this. And then it just became more interesting as we got like 3 snowstorms in 1 week. So we might do that this year. Yes?
How much sublimation do you get, and how would that figure into the treatment?
I don't really know. We did think of sublimation, but we haven't been able to quantify that. We are working... there is a citizen science project that's going on in Maine, and some of them are looking at sublimation. So we're trying to work with them and see if maybe they have some good methods to quantify that. And maybe we can incorporate that into our experiment this year. Yes?
Yeah, so you were talking about your PLFAs to get at microbial biomass. And you, I understand you're also going to look at some kind of a grouping of the microorganisms.
Yes. That's what I would expect, because these microbes currently cannot function at the really cold conditions in the treatment plots. And also you have constant cell lysis because of the freeze and thaw cycles. And we expect that there's got to be some adaptation in order for the ecosystem to continue functioning. Yes.
Do you consider doing any physical tests, like agrestability?
Like what?
We
have done bulk density and pretty much just bulk density, moisture and temperature. Those are our tests right now. Yes.
So sorry, I think you're spot on that I haven't seen what you've done in a software system. How do you think the system would compare to the hardwood study that has been done like it?
I don't think I can answer that right now, but we also have we have another project going on at the Bear Brook Watershed, which is also in Maine. That's not a snow removal project, but we could compare the reference plots here with the reference with the project at Bear Brook, so we can get an estimate of how the softwood and the hardwood actually differ. Yeah.
Yes. So when your soil thawed in the spring.
Yes.
That's the slide right there. Could that decrease have been due to two things? Could ammonium nitrogen have been converted to nitrate nitrogen that quickly and lost due to depercolation? And secondly, could you have had denitrification in those wet soils just before they drain?
Yes, there could have been some denitrification, although we haven't measured that. As far as converting to nitrates, I don't think that's been happening because for PNNM we looked at potential ammonification and potential nitrification, and even though there was a slight increase in the nitrate levels after incubation, it wasn't enough to account for this drop.